Welcome into Robbie on Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in for Robbie this morning. He'll be back tomorrow alongside Joe Rex Road. Joe, Saturday night after the Predators lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning. By the way, game two of that two-game set is tonight, pregame at 5 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have Preds Pick to Click coming up at 8:45, so it should be interesting to see what the listeners think about who is going to score tonight for the Nashville Predators. But after that game, I thought we were in the clear for all the news coming down in sports or the games that were taking place. There was a lot of them Saturday night across all sports. And then Adam Schefter tweets out the surprising breaking news of Matthew Stafford being traded from the Detroit Lions to the LA Rams in exchange for Jared Goff, a third-round pick in 2021, and two first-round picks, one in 2022 and another in 2023, meaning that the Rams are about to go seven straight years without a first-round pick. Hard to believe. Huge, huge trade in the NFL. The musical chairs have started for quarterbacks this offseason, and Matthew Stafford ends up with the Rams. Who do you feel like, Joe, won that trade between the Rams and the Lions?
Well, you evaluate it now, and you would go with the Lions because the Lions wanted to deal Stafford. We all knew this. Sometimes that makes it more difficult. They show that if there's a market, you can quote-unquote not have leverage, and you can just be just fine. Two first-round picks, a third. They get Goff back. Now, they also basically get Goff's salary back, and it's pretty massive. But the Lions, I think, won the trade. Now, I'll go back and tell you the Rams won the trade if they win the Super Bowl, because that's the whole point here. They got to one Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Last year they were a surprisingly good team after a disappointing 2019, and it looked like they were a quarterback away at times. Goff was so bad in Seattle.
He was also banged up. I mean, sure. Look, he was throwing with like four fingers on his right hand. I mean, yep. That thumb was so banged up that he could barely throw a spiral, both in Seattle and Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Goff is a really interesting case of a lot of people have called him the system quarterback. You know, he's in this McVay system, and they make it easy for him and all this stuff. I don't think he's bad. I mean, his numbers are good. I think he's a pretty good player.
He has a higher quarterback rating than Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
For his career.
Sure. I mean, you know, this is where this will be fascinating with both guys, because with Stafford, and I do subscribe to this, Stafford has had awful defenses for the most part in his tenure. He's had no running game in his tenure. He's had some good receivers.
Who's the best running back that he's had? Javid Best?
Yeah, Best.
Reggie Bush he was okay?
And both of those guys, yeah, those are both fine. And both those guys were good, certainly good pass catchers out of the backfield. He's had some good backs like that. He's never had a heavy volume like running back who runs the ball and gives you second six or second four all day. You know,
Cam Akers could be that guy for him.
Yeah, well, and talk about this will be easily the best defense he's ever had on the other side, and that's the thing. You know, so that's the flip. That's one side with him, and I do. I think they can win a Super Bowl with him. If they do, well, they won the trade. You know, until then, it looks like a lot to give up. And then with Goff, I'm not like giving up on him, and I'd love to know, because look, the word around the NFL is that Goff and McVay was flat out the worst quarterback coach relationship in the NFL, worse than Nagy Trubisky, like awful. Okay, if that's the case, is that whose fault is that? You know, I mean, I could see it being McVay's because, you know, I mean, I could see him rubbing people the wrong way, but I don't know. So does a new environment help him? I still think he's pretty good. I do, but I just don't know. Is he the product of all that support around him that Stafford hasn't had? And you put him in a different situation, and they have a great play action game, and he's one of those guys. He actually reminds me a lot of like Kirk Cousins. If he's on his spot and he's got protection and the pocket's clean, you know, he'll be accurate all day for you. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he's just not a guy you like improvise. He can't – the broken plays, the extended plays, you know, that's not him. And I think if you really want to get to that top level in this league, you got to have guys who can do that.
I wonder if the Rams called the Texans on Deshaun Watson and were serious about Deshaun Watson. Because if they were willing to give that haul up for Matthew Stafford, I wonder what those discussions would have been like between the Rams and the Texans.
Just take our entire brand new stadium to Houston. Just take it.
SoFi Stadium. You can have that stadium. We will move to NRG and we'll have Deshaun Watson.
Like half their team, seven first-round picks, and like three movie stars.
Well, you know? Shoot, they're about to go seven straight years without a first-round pick, so what's seven more?
Yeah, well, I hope they did make the call, but that's an obvious reaction, too, is, okay, Matthew Stafford fetches that? So what is Deshaun Watson going to fetch?
Yeah, Tyler from Berry Hill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, saying, based off that trade, what do you guys think Houston is about to get for Watson?
Well, Houston's not trading him. I heard him say, not interested. Sorry.
That they have zero intention of trading Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he's just
let's see how that goes for you.
Yeah, sounds good. It's going to be, wow. I mean, it's going to be a haul. I really hope that we can, I hope, you know, because this was a nice job of keeping things down low before we heard the trade. I'd love to hear a little bit of the negotiating as things go along with Deshaun Watson, because if you're the Texans, I mean, you're gonna get calls from all but how many teams? Handful,
probably. A lot of those teams doing their due diligence.
Yeah, like how many hot and heavy conversations you're gonna be in? I bet you at least four or five, right?
Oh, I'd say
or more,
closer to double digits.
Yeah. Could be.
I mean, John Robinson isn't going to be one of those teams that has the hot and heavy conversations, but I would expect him to be wanted to his due diligence.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he wouldn't be doing his job as GM if he didn't at least call Caserio in Houston. By the way, with Caserio, I wonder if deep down, yes, he says publicly he has zero intention of trading Deshaun Watson. I wonder if deep down Saturday night he sees that come out and he's like, man, what could this do for us? If Stafford is going to yield Goff, two first and a third, what could we get for Deshaun Watson? I wonder if that went through his mind.
Of course. Of course. I mean, at some point you have to deal with your situation, and they have an opportunity here, you know, to bring in a load. The difference between those two situations is Matthew Stafford, very productive, very talented, but it's a little bit like Tannehill in Miami. He's certainly more highly regarded than Tannehill was even Miami, but you know it's like it was time. You know, in Houston, it's like you might be just giving like you're giving up what every team spends all year every year trying to find. You know, that's not necessarily the same case with Stafford and the Lions. So that's the thing with Houston. I mean, it's still depressing to think about not having him. In Detroit, I think it's sort of like, okay, time to, it's a rebuild anyway and all that. I guess you could look at it the same way with the Texans. It's just he's young and maybe going to be like one of the all-time greats. So what haul makes you feel good about things?
Right.
It better be
so
ridiculous.
Stafford's going to go into his age 33 season with the L.A. Rams. How many more good years do you think Stafford has in him?
He's been very durable. I mean, because he's had his injuries. Been very tough. Has been able to play for the most part through everything. I think he's got several good years left. You look at, you know, the guys who take care of themselves at that position in this league, and the way quarterbacks are protected now. That team, the way they're built, you know, to protect quarterbacks. They got a good run game. You know, good O line. I mean, I think he's got several good years. But I mean, this is a. Just like in anything in the NFL, what are you really looking at when you're talking about your window? You're looking at what, 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years move, and obviously they think that he can do it, and I don't disagree with them.
Should be interesting to see Stafford in a Rams uniform. It's funny you mentioned Stafford's durability. That was one of his biggest knocks early in his career, that he couldn't stay healthy.
Yep.
And then he rattles off like eight straight years of playing every game.
Oh, he was just getting crushed. But he also, like, you know, there was this famous game against the Browns early in his career where he was you know, he could barely walk, and he had like a rib poking out of him, you know, and he's out there throwing TD passes. And, but yes, he was hurt a lot and then has been able to hang in there for the most part.
So what was the Titans fan reaction to this trade? I know I was pleased, and I think a lot of other Titans fans were pleased about this trade of Stafford going to the Rams. We will tell you why coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rexroad. It is Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Detroit Lions really wanted to get this done and resolved as soon as possible. And there were other teams involved in the process as well, but it quickly became apparent that the Los Angeles Rams wanted Matthew Stafford as badly as Matthew Stafford wanted them. Matthew Stafford was drawn to the idea that he would be playing for Sean McVay in the Rams offense with those weapons in that city, in that stadium, which hosts the Super Bowl next season, and obviously it became quickly apparent that those two sides wanted it to work.
That was Adam Schefter over the weekend after the big trade going down between the Rams and the Lions. The first trade ever with two number one overall picks essentially being swapped since the merger. So,
and there's a bigger trade coming. What an offseason.
So Stafford to the Rams, Goff to the Lions, along with a pool of draft picks, including two first-round picks. And that prompted a lot of Titans fan reaction, including me. I'm raising my hand that only two people can see, Joe Rexroad and Elijah Campbell behind the glass, that was very happy to see Matthew Stafford not go to the Indianapolis Colts. I tweeted out Saturday night, thank you, LA Rams, for keeping Matthew Stafford away from Indianapolis. To which Matthew on Twitter responded, Nashville is so afraid of the Colts, it's almost sad at this point. And I responded to Matthew by saying, that's what happens when the Colts possess a higher percentage stake in the ownership of the Titans than anyone with the last name of Adams.
Good response.
And he didn't have a response to that. So
he was so blown away by your response.
Sure.
He was just silenced.
Something like that.
Well, look, Colts fans, I mean, that's respect for a very good team. That's a very good team that Chris Ballard has put together.
And it could have become even better if they had traded for Matthew Stafford.
So I wrote a column at theathletic.com today about the Bowen thing, but also about this. Like, it was still a good weekend for the Titans and Titans fans because of that. Because you may not like Shane Bowen as DC, but you'd like it less if he was planning for Stafford and the Colts twice a year and you had to try to beat them out. I think the Colts would have been clearly the AFC South favorite with Stafford. And I think that, again, not knowing exactly what they're giving up, but probably draft capital, I think you're talking about a real challenger to the Chiefs next year. Some people think I'm overstating the Colts and or Stafford there, but I don't think so. You look at what Rivers did with that, you know, throw it 15 yards downfield max and some bad picks.
Some arm punts.
Yeah. And, again, good numbers. I mean, he played well. They were good. But you add a talent like that to that offense, maybe like a receiver.
That unlocks a lot of potential for that Colts offense with those running backs that they have, with the receivers that they have.
Yeah, and they've got a, I mean, they have to add there. I think that's what I expect the Colts to do. They need to add a weapon because, you know, Hilton is past the prime there, and they need, you know, I think Pittman's coming on and going to be a good player, but you add a weapon there to everything else they have, maybe add something in the secondary. It's a really good roster, and amazingly, it's a really good roster and they're not in any kind of cap stress. I mean, he's done a really nice job.
Do you think that would be a team that would be interested in Corey Davis in the offseason?
Sure. Sure. That'd be a nice coup for them, right? Steal him away from the Titans?
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't it, though? Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. And the good news, though, is that, well, you know, we're still trying to figure out what they're going to do at QB, and I just don't love any of their options. Now, some of them
assuming that Deshaun Watson's not an option because they're in the same division as Houston.
That's true. I'm ruling out the Texans from doing that to themselves and sending him to Indy. I'm also ruling out Rodgers. I think we can all probably that seems like
he's
a
not
long,
gonna
long,
get
long
traded.
Shot. Right. I mean, everyone's basically said, like, forget about it. So what's next? Stafford was the realistic, you know, top of the list guy.
I mean, potentially Darnold, but what if Darnold is a part of a package from the Jets to the Texans to get Deshaun Watson?
And what if he isn't? Are you scared of them with Darnold?
No, not as much as Stafford. I will say there is a part of me that wants to see what Darnold does outside of having Adam Gase as his head coach.
Yes.
Because we saw that firsthand. We have seen that with Ryan Tannehill. That when Tannehill was in Miami with Adam Gase, Tannehill did not live up to his potential. Tannehill comes to Tennessee with Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel, and Tannehill looks like one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history.
This is where I step out and defend my fellow Marshall Michigan Youth Football League alum Adam Gase. Actually, Tannehill's best season was with Adam Gase, by far. It was 2016, and Tannehill blew his knee late in that year. They were on the way to the playoffs. He was having a tremendous year. And then it basically never – so Gase actually got him to a higher level, and I understand Gase is like, look, I mean,
he's a
it's been a disaster. I get that. But I also think the Jets are a disaster beyond him too, right?
Sure.
So I don't know if it's – I don't know, you know, Gase probably got too much credit for earlier stuff that got him to these jobs. But regardless, Darnold was in a bad situation. And I agree with you that Darnold could be an interesting player in another spot. Carson Wentz, is that a possibility for the Colts? Okay. I mean, with Wentz, like if he got healthy and could get back to how he was playing 3 years ago, then that could be promising. But
right.
I don't know where he is.
But are the Eagles going to trade Wentz when they when they hired Sirianni, which by the way, talking about a Looney Tune, he kind of looked like a Looney Tune in his opening press conference the other day.
Must have been an incredible interviewer. Incredible interviewer.
Really blew people away with the press conference, especially with the line that we're going to be a smart team, which means we're going to know what we're going to do.
I would hope so. If we could get that clip today, that would be...
We'll have to react to that at some point. Which one was better, Sirianni or Dan Campbell being like, we're going to bite off kneecaps?
I mean, at least Dan Campbell was forceful and confident in his weird cannibalism endorsement. Sirianni was just, I don't know, man.
Just dazed and confused. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron says, I look at this as a win for the Titans because I think Stafford would have slingshot the Colts to winning the division again, plus the Jags getting the first pick, and Watson most likely staying in Houston. The division will be competitive once again. I think we should be thankful, says Ron.
I mean, look at the Titans next year. They may be looking at, I don't think they will be looking at Watson and Houston. I think they're going to be looking at Houston with no Watson. They're looking at the Colts with TBD, but not Matt Stafford and not anyone better than him. And then you're looking at, Trevor Lawrence as a rookie with the Jags. But that's a nice nice scene to try to repeat as division champs.
I also wouldn't expect much out of Jacksonville for the first year or two with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. Maybe – that's like a 3 to 5 year plan there for them to become contenders in the AFC South, but certainly not 2021.
Yeah. Well, it's not a 5 year plan. Urban will be long gone by then.
True.
I mean, he won't be able to handle it if they're not. But yeah, I think it's like figure it out next year, see what you've got, then try to be respectable, and then you're trying to make a run in let me do the math, 2023? Yeah, 2023.
Look at you, Joe.
Yay, thank you.
That Michigan State math. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ray asks, why this much love for a quarterback that has not won a playoff game in over 10 years in Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I get that, and I've heard that. The Detroit freaking Lions have won one playoff game since 1957. It is a dreadful organization, one of the worst in sports, one of the worst ownership situations in sports. So they've had, I mean, Barry Sanders, we can all agree, is one of the top 2-3 running backs ever. He actually did take part in that one playoff win. Calvin Johnson is one of the greatest receivers to play the game. Nada. If you watch Matthew Stafford, and unfortunately I've been subjected to not watching him, but Lions football for that, the guy is... he's the best quarterback they've ever had, and him not winning a playoff game. Again, this is where we're doing the win as a quarterback stat, which bothers me. It's not because of him, okay? In fact, they went into New Orleans a few years ago, and I'm sure you remember this game, Elijah. Matthew Stafford was great in that game. The Lions simply couldn't stop Drew Brees.
Probably should have won that game, actually. That was one of the greatest offenses in the history of football, but no one likes to talk about that because they gave up a ton of points, and they are indeed the Detroit Lions. But that was a
You're right. They got a bad call. They got screwed in that game, didn't they? A little bit late?
Maybe, yeah, if I remember correctly.
Oh, the Saints fan doesn't remember that.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
But that was an example of Matthew Stafford did more than enough to win a playoff game there. He had a defense that had no chance. I mean, and in fact, he had a playoff win at Dallas too that was not on him, that they did get kind of hosed in that game. The Cowboys came back to win with Romo. I mean, you can't blame him for that. You can't knock him for that. He played for the Lions. He's going to get a playoff win. I'll bet you at least one right away, year one with the Rams.
We have a lot of text into the text line. We cannot get to them all before we have to move on to Greg Aumann, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic, to talk about the Super Bowl. But this one I do like. Simply put, the Colts will sign Cam Newton, says a texter into the text line. Please, please let that happen. If Cam Newton is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts next year, the Titans are going to repeat as division champs.
Who? 7-9. Well, okay, 8-8. I give him.
Who would you rather have, Phillip Rivers or Cam Newton?
Phillip Rivers.
Thank you.
Do they win more games than Cam Newton throws touchdown passes?
Oh.
Now that's number this year.
That is a great question.
That's actually a good question.
We'll have to stew on that for the next few minutes. But coming up next, Greg Aumann covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic. He'll be joining us to give us the Buccaneers' perspective on the Super Bowl matchup coming up this week against the Kansas City Chiefs coming up Sunday night. That's all coming up next. I'm Ryan Porthen for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rexrode. And it is Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We are expected to be joined by Greg Aumann of The Athletic, covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No relation to the Aumann brothers. He's not one of
them. Yeah, not Greg Aumann.
It's Aumann.
Greg Aumann.
Not Aumann. We had Drew on the text line texting in saying that Elijah should have bumped back with Ramblin' Man by the Aumann brothers, but this is not Greg Aumann. It is Greg Aumann.
No L's in this man's last name.
Correct. Nor T's, which helps Joe Rexrode in his keyboard.
Significantly.
By the way,
plug it in.
You've had to write something, you have written something on The Athletic about Matthew Stafford, correct? So what did you do about the T's?
Yeah, so amazingly, my wife, her work gave her an extra keyboard last week to help her, have an extra keyboard, I guess.
Or they just would have heard you whining about your keyboard on this program.
Maybe.
They're like, well, we need to get Katie this keyboard so that Joe has one.
That could be it. So, yeah, I plugged it in yesterday. So, you know, it's a little bit clunky. I've got it plugged in right now. So what I've actually today – when I've been typing stuff in, if I need a T, I just go over to this one and hit the T. But yeah, when I was writing yesterday, I used the the extra keyboard. So it's not the best, but it gets you around the T issue.
It's better than smashing the T key and no T's popping up, and then like 10 seconds later, you have like 20 T's. T.
Well, right. That's the old way. Is you smash it until you get a bunch, and then you keep them, and then every time you need a T. You type into the next T, and then you type in the next T. Very,
copy and paste.
Very tedious with a T.
Oh, I see what you did there. So we are hoping to be joined by Greg Aumann of The Athletic talking Buccaneers. Big week, obviously, Super Bowl week. This matchup between the Bucs and the Chiefs, I'm surprised the line hasn't moved. It initially came out after Championship Sunday as, I think, a flat 3. And in some places, it's still just 3. Other places, it's 3.5. I am surprised that more money hasn't been going to the Chiefs and that this hasn't gotten up to 4 or 5.
I am, too. I'm surprised that was the line, frankly. You know, I'm trying to, you know, usually I'm in alignment with Vegas. You know, I think for the most part, I think sometimes lines are a little bit inflated by fan base. But, you know, when it comes to this matchup, and I know Brady's been a great story and that defense looks good. The Chiefs are banged up on the O-line. I'm trying to think of reasons for it to be where it is. To me, this is a – I would have guessed this to be like a 5, 5.5.
To open that way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why I don't work there.
Look, your favorite human on earth, Tom Brady, is probably a big reason why it's only 3 or 3.5.
I have no problem with Tom Brady the human.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I have no problem with Tom Brady. I mean, he's a cheater, but
you say that Dan Fouts is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Said that.
Or that's how people interpreted it on Twitter.
God. Don't perpetuate that. I never said that.
I'm just one of the, Twitter trolls saying that Joe said that Dan Fouts is better than Tom Brady.
My gosh, man. Please don't speak this in. I've been trying to shout that down for several days now. I did say Dan Fouts belongs in a discussion of great quarterbacks. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. He threw a lot of picks, and I didn't realize he threw that many picks.
He threw a ton of interceptions.
But a lot of touchdowns. No, I don't have any problem with Tom Brady. I just – whatever, man. I will jump on the GOAT train if he wins this game. How about that? I will – you can't deny it. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you can't deny it now.
What would make you jump on the GOAT train with a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay versus what he did for many years in New England winning 6 Super Bowls?
Well, because he'd be winning this Super Bowl at 43 over the best quarterback in the game now, and I think a mismatch. You look going through his career. There were some Super Bowls the Pats won that, they were clearly the better team. There were some Super Bowls they won where he didn't play especially well. And the Rams, the last time out, it was an awful game offensively. Great.
One of the worst Super Bowls of all time.
He also won a game thanks to Pete Carroll giving him a gift. Hey, don't run Marshawn Lynch. Brady celebrated, though. He also won a game with Kyle Shanahan, incapable of doing math. And then he lost twice to Eli.
So what if the Chiefs blow this? And Tom Brady is the product of Patrick Mahomes making a mistake or Andy Reid making a mistake.
Well, right. That's the problem with saying what I just said, because we don't know how it will play out. But if he plays, again, even like the last game, all we wanted to talk about was Brady, Brady, Brady. But really, we should have been talking about the defense, because they saved the 3 Brady picks in the second half and did an incredible job.
No doubt.
Against the Packers. But we just talked Brady, Brady, Brady. It's all anybody wants to talk about. Fine. If they win this game and he plays well, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
I think the Tampa Bay defense has a chance to get after Mahomes if they play the way they did in Green Bay because of Eric Fisher being out. I mean, that's a big blow to the Chiefs' offensive line.
It is. No, it is. And against that D-line, to me, this team does resemble last year's NFC entry, the Niners. They were there because – well, the Niners last year, that's one of the best defensive fronts I've ever seen in football.
I would still say the Niners' defensive front last year was a little better than Tampa Bay's.
It was, no
doubt. But I see what you're saying in terms of it resembling what we saw last year.
And, if you really go through, you can go through a lot of Super Bowl teams, champions, even like college football, go through national champions. Those dominant D-line teams often find themselves there. They can win up front, disrupt, stop the run, get after the quarterback. That's what this Bucs team is. And it's still a good offensive team. Brady's been playing very well. I don't know that we're looking at a blowout, but I like the Chiefs. I agree with you. They can get after them, but I think the Chiefs they've got time to look at this and figure this out. We've seen the Bucs try to cover Tyreek Hill already once this year. That was a good game, too, but I hope we get a good game.
Well, it was on the way to being a blowout, and then Tampa Bay stormed back and made it interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it looked like it was going to be real ugly.
After Tyreek Hill had 600 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah. I mean, like legit. Oh, 240, yeah. Right, in the first?
It was knocking on the door of that number just in the first quarter.
7 for 202 and a couple touchdowns.
Whew. In a quarter. I hope we get a good game. But, yeah, if Brady wins this game, I can't argue anymore. I can't, because I've said for years, he's one of the GOATs. He's one of the GOATs. But just Super Bowl collection of rings is not That's not the only factor. It's just not.
But
some of the goats have zero.
I still don't truly understand why you're so resistant to put him in the goat category, all by himself, because of what he did for. It's not just six Super Bowls. He did it over the course of two different eras of NFL football, for two decades with New England, where. What was it? This was his 14th conference championship game that he just played in. Just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That he was in the Final Four 14 times out of the last 20 years.
Right. And we want to make it all about the quarterback, all about Brady, and we're going to just ignore who the coach was and what they had, what the defenses were.
Well, I subscribe to the thought now that we see Brady in a different uniform.
Don't do it.
That this now, was more Brady than it was Belichick in New England.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to disagree that it was more, because it's just like we're talking about the Bowen-Titan situation. I'm always going to go on the side of, hey, great football cliche that always works. Jimmy and Joe's over the X's and O's, always, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'll agree that it was more. But, you know, people are way overplaying that now.
I'm not going to that extreme. But I would, percentage-wise, say probably 60% Brady, maybe a little bit more.
That's fine. But you are talking about all this team achievement stuff with him. I'm not saying he wasn't great. Of course he was great. There was a lot more to it. Look, I have Peyton Manning first on my list because – he's the best quarterback I've ever seen play the game, in my opinion. It's subjective, okay? He also has a couple rings. He did not have – he had good weapons. But he, like, with those Colts teams, he did not have what the Patriots had with Belichick and the defense and the entire thing. He did not have the same thing that Brady did. I will always believe that. But, again, if Brady pulls this off at this age – I mean, even I might have to just shut up about it.
Yeah, you probably will have to shut up about it. Let's go.
I'm good at shutting up, as you know.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, early called shot. Brady wins the Super Bowl, retires right after, and Tampa Bay gets Deshaun Watson in the offseason.
Jeez. Whew. There's a shot. Remember that one.
We're gonna.
I don't think Brady's retiring.
I don't think so either.
I don't care what happens Sunday. I think he's coming back for another run next year.
Yeah.
We'll see Brady Stafford in that title game.
And he's going to further stick it to Bill Belichick that he was the guy all along in New England that deserves the credit.
What if Belichick gets Watson?
Well, we'll see.
Did you see that Stafford, by the way, that was the one team he said he wouldn't go to?
I did not see that.
Yeah. That was the – now, that's let's not forget, Matt Patricia has gone back to the Pats. So may just be don't want to be around Matty Pat anymore.
That gnarly beard,
yeah,
of Matty Pat's.
Yeah,
sounds like he didn't make many friends in Detroit.
No, didn't acquit himself very well. Not very impressive. A lot of that, a lot of the people coming out of the Death Star end up not fulfilling that promise elsewhere.
Well, coming up next, we will continue to talk about this matchup and focus on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Greg Allman, not Allman, will be joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road to dive into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's all coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rex Road. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Lord, welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rexroad. Little Allman Brothers bringing us back. And we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Greg Allman, not Allman, to our show to discuss all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers as he covers the Bucs for The Athletic. Greg, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for the intro, and good to be on with you guys.
Absolutely. First of all, how many times do you get mistaken for Greg Allman?
It's more on the phone than in person, and I had the thought that it would like kind of dissipate with his passing, and it really hasn't. It's that they just kind of pushed right through it, and it's still a thing. It's great though. Like it used to be, you'd hear on the radio like Greg Allman coming to Tampa, you know, sold out. always fun to hear.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So when you look at Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, I want to look at Tom Brady specifically. How did this season go for Brady with the Bucs versus what your preseason expectations were?
I think the regular season was probably about what I thought. I thought they'd be a playoff team. I thought they wouldn't be as good as the Saints. So that came through. But then, you know, to win three road playoff games, I didn't think this was necessarily a Super Bowl team. I think that would have been I was impressed with the people that saw that coming, I guess. So, no, they've exceeded expectations, and certainly in the last 2 weeks here, going into New Orleans where they'd lost and lost decidedly twice to them this season, and then especially going into Green Bay, I mean, the Bucs had won at Lambeau, I think, one time since 1990. You know, it's like Warren Sapp, John Lynch both went 0-9 in their careers at Lambeau. So to go there with so much on the line with a team that, you know, had Aaron Rodgers in an MVP season and win, that's a really impressive win.
No doubt. And I think we saw, Greg, just a terrific, you know, defensive front. And I mean, Devin White, you've got some really special players on that defense that really came through, especially in that second half in Lambeau. But the offense, it seems like at some point late in the season, something clicked. What was that? Because there was a lot of talk around midseason like, oh, maybe it's too simplistic. It just doesn't work with Brady's skill set. And now all of a sudden it looks like everything's clicking. What changed there?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was just the experience of these guys figuring each other out. I think to some extent it's also the coaching staff figuring out player strengths and having play calling that fits to that. They had a jag where they couldn't complete the deep ball at all for like six games. They had another run where they were terrible in the first quarter. They got outscored 59-7 over the first quarter of six straight games. And I think having the bye week late, it let everybody get rested. It gave them a chance to kind of reset and focus. It certainly helped get Antonio Brown involved. They didn't get him until week nine. He didn't have any touchdowns in his first five games. And then he had five touchdowns in the next five games. So I think he helped kind of spark this offense, added another big play threat that probably helped the run game by keeping defenses honest. And the defense helped too. I mean, the defense has been inconsistent, but here of late, it's really stepped up to close out some games and really just finish things out when the offense couldn't.
Greg Allman covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic. He's on with us now here on Robbie and Rex Road. Greg, how have you seen the relationship between Brady and Bruce Arians evolve since the start of the season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there was kind of that run right around late October where there was a lot of Brady people that kind of bristled at Arians being as honest and blunt as Bruce can be in being critical of Brady when he was throwing interceptions. And I think because Brady, you know, we're used to Belichick not really saying much of anything to the media, and to go from that to Arians, who pretty much speaks his mind, I think some people took that as a rift between them or some kind of chasm between coach and quarterback. And I don't really think that was the case. I think Brady knew what he was getting into when he came here. And I think what helped is that they just really started clicking at a high level. That's not just him and Bruce and Brady, but Byron Leftwich as the play caller as well. They got to a point where they went like four or five games without any turnovers at all. And that really helped kind of give them momentum that pushed into the postseason as well.
So, Greg, you had a piece at The Athletic about the Bucs' fourth quarter defense, which has been really good. And, of course, like you said, really good of late. I'm trying to talk myself into, you know, some stops here Sunday. The Chiefs are very banged up front. We saw, you know, the first meeting obviously was getting out of hand. The Bucs made it competitive late, but how different, I guess, is this defense from that game to this game, and what are the chances that they can get enough stops Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the defense has to be wildly better than they were the first time around. Mahomes threw for 462. I think he had 359 at the half. Tyreek Hill had 203 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter. You're down 17 to the Chiefs. You're not going to win that game. So I think what helps them, they do have two players back they didn't have in that regular season meeting. Vita Vea, who's their big D tackle in the middle, kind of the big part of their interior pass rush and run defense, he's back amazingly after missing 15 weeks with a broken leg. And Jamel Dean, who's probably their number two corner, is also there. So I think that helps counter some of the speed of Kansas City's downfield passing game. More than anything, they have to get to Mahomes. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, this is the second week in a row they've managed to catch a playoff team missing a tackle, you know. And you had, you know, with Green Bay, you had them without Bakhtiari, and I think that definitely was a factor in Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett getting five sacks. And now you don't know how well the Chiefs can handle losing Eric Fisher, not having him, but it's another vulnerability, and it's a team that doesn't have many of them. So it's something the Bucs can definitely try and exploit.
So, Greg, what's it like? What's it like in Tampa? I mean, first of all, every Tampa team is doing ridiculous things. I know you've been writing about all of them, you know, at various points. But yeah, obviously, we're also in this, you know, this COVID year, and it's very different. What's it been like? What's it like down there? And what's it been like even covering this to this point?
Yeah, it's been wild. This is the best 6 month run in Tampa Bay sports history. You know, it's like we're writing how the Lightning, the Rays, and the Bucks in their first, you know, if you go back to September, up to that point had been to like the championship game level four times combined in their history, and they're 3-for-3 since then. I mean, the Lightning win the Stanley Cup 2 weeks later, the Rays are in the World Series, and at the time it was like, boy, it'd be wild if the Bucks, because it was almost like you were happy just to say, well, the Bucks have Tom Brady, you know, so that's
right.
And it's like, well, they haven't really done anything yet. And now here they go, and they've done the same thing, and they're in the Super Bowl. And it's in Tampa, which adds another level of ridiculousness to this. So, no, it's been great. I mean, this is a market that has kind of been starved for winning of late. You know, the Bucs hadn't made the playoffs in 13 years. So you'd have, you know, it puts a damper on things that it's during a pandemic, and there's not nearly the tangible people everywhere that you normally would associate with this kind of success. But the Lightning had a boat parade on the river in Tampa that was really, really neat to see. It kind of gave more people the chance to get together without it being some kind of super spreader deal. And I think they'll probably do the same thing if they have something to celebrate after Sunday.
Greg Aumann covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic. He's been our guest this morning here on Robbie and Rex Road. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here this morning, and enjoy Super Bowl week.
Hey, thanks again, guys. You guys, too. Take care.
It's Greg.
All right. Greg Aumann covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for The Athletic. Interesting thoughts there from him on Brady.
Yeah, and that was – there was a lot of that Arians honesty, which is great. People like, whoa, what are you doing? Brady's not going to stand for this. I think Brady's a little less fragile than people think.
Yeah,
and I hadn't really even thought of it in those terms, but you do. You go from Belichick, who never says anything about anything, including individual players, good, bad, just doesn't say anything, to now this guy. I mean, Arians last year, it's finally kind of flipped. Was basically just like, Jameis, what are you doing? You know. So, but yeah, I mean, of course, Brady carefully inspected the places he was going, and he obviously made a good choice here.
So, we have a contest at thegamenashville.com this week for the Super Bowl. We have a contest called Super Picks that you can go to thegamenashville.com and partake in. You can predict the answers for some of the questions that we put together. And the person that gets the most correct will win a large Orca cooler that is full of prizes.
Nice.
Large Orca cooler is a nice draw already, but it's going to be full of good stuff. So, again, you can do this at thegamenashville.com. Super Picks is sponsored by Boom Bob's Craft Pizza and Tap House, and the contest will close at the scheduled kickoff time. You must be 21 or over to enter this contest. So, a lot of good stuff that you could get out of that Orca cooler if you go to thegamenashville.com and partake in that contest. Coming up next, Corey Curtis of News 2 will join us. How does he think it's going to go with Shane Bowen as DC and Todd Downing as OC for the Tennessee Titans starting in 2021? We'll get his takes coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.